Okay, folks, you're listening to Rye Argentina to the World. This is a special podcast for our website, rye.com.ar. And we're going to be talking a little bit about science, about medicine, about COVID-19. We're going to talk about hyperbaric medicine with one of the leading authorities in this country, Dr. Nina Subotina, who's down the line talking to me. She's from Russia, but she's been living in our country for several years. And, well, we're going to be talking to her now. Hello, Dr. Subotina. Thank you for this.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks very much. But before we plunge into the subject of hyperbaric medicine, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, where you come from, when you settled in Argentina, where you studied?
I came from Russia. No, it was a former Soviet Union.
Yeah.
It was 92. And
sorry, which year? Which year?
92.
Ah, 1992. Okay.
Yes. I was invited by Dr. Pisarello, who just came from U.S., where he also studied the hyperbaric medicine, and he wanted to open a facility to treat patients. And so he invited me. The first facility was opened in Sanatorio Modelo Quilmes in, 93. So I began to work there. Always, his joke was that we have joined the American technology and Russian technology in order to get success. I'll be successful in this. Really, it was a success because we had many patients and other physicians who didn't know what is the hyperbaric medicine. They have seen our success, and it's very important to make a special plan for each patient, not only hyperbaric medicine, not only drugs, not only other therapies. It should be a plan, a specific plan for each patient.
Okay,
so we get it. And that was the key of this, our success.
But you came in 1992, you're saying you came in 1992 invited, and then you decided to stay here, living in Argentina.
Yes, I was invited by him to work. I never thought that I will stay so many years here. Equally, each year I'm going to Russia. I have there my colleagues, my friends, and always it's very interesting, the interchange of actualization in hyperbaric medicine, because the Soviet Union was very advanced.
Okay. Why don't you give it
more than?
Why don't you give me in a nutshell what hyperbaric medicine is for the layman, for the regular listener who's not a physician? It involves very pure oxygen. I mean, 100% pure oxygen, which has many qualities from what I've been reading before this conversation.
Yes. So, what is the hyperbaric medicine? Hyperbaric medicine is a branch of medicine that it uses the high pressure higher than environmental pressure at the sea level. Yes? For example, in Buenos Aires, we are living at the sea level, and our pressure to which the organism, the human organism, is accustomed is 1 atmosphere or 1 ATA. ATA, it's the acronyms for absolute atmosphere. And inside the hyperbaric chamber, we give more pressure because by the laws of physics, this oxygen is absorbed by blood and is carried to all the organs and to all the parts of the organism. It's very important because oxygen is, I would say, the unique drug to which we all are addicted.
Yeah. And it's a natural, beneficial, yes. drug.
Yes, because oxygen is producing energy in our organism.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot live without energy, and we do not have energy stored in our organism.
Correct.
So we need oxygen every time and every minute, and in 5 minutes we can die without oxygen.
So, but correct me if I'm wrong, it involves hyperbaric medicine, it involves not only supplying extra oxygen into the patient, but also changing the pressure, the pressure surrounding the patient is accustomed to. Am I right?
To change the pressure is the condition.
Ah, okay.
To get more oxygen inside the organism.
Get it.
And also, first it was thought that oxygen is like antibiotics. But now, during all the years of development of scientific hyperbaric medicine, we learned that there are many effects. There are many useful effects, like anti-inflammatory, like advanced healing, because it results that injured organism, or, for example, in diabetic food lesion, ulcer that didn't heal will need more oxygen to heal. So when we give more oxygen, this ulcer is healed.
Okay.
And in many other conditions.
Mm-hmm. And what is the question that pops into my mind now? What is healthier for a healthier environment for a person, considering the pressure? You mentioned that Buenos Aires is on the sea level, of course. Is that healthier than somebody living in La Quiaca, for example, which is much higher above the sea level? What's better for the body? What where a person is healthier depending on the altitude and pressure?
Yes, it's a very good question, and I will say so. The people that live in Quiaca, in the altitude, they are accustomed to this pressure. And if we will travel to Quiaca, we will feel sick there.
Yes,
because
yes.
Because our organism is used to live at
one pressure,
one
yeah.
atmosphere.
It's what they call apunamiento in Spanish.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And when we go to the mountains, we will feel sick. And some people can die because of lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
As it said, that the Mount Everest that is in Nepal is like a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Because the many people who are climbing, they need more oxygen, and without mm-hmm. oxygen, it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And what about the opposite, doctor? I mean, somebody from La Quiaca or from Bolivia, from La Paz, from Cusco, coming down to sea level, do they feel sick? Do they feel better, healthier?
No, never, never. They will feel very good.
Ah, okay.
Because it's like some oxygen granted to them.
Yeah, it's like they go into a natural hyperbaric chamber.
Yes, yes, they do.
Okay. And going back into the subject of hyperbaric medicine, I'm curious about the origins of this technique. You said that the Soviet Union was a forerunner in it. When it started, it dates back to when? Which are the scientists that developed it first?
It was started in 1662 by one British clergyman, but it was pre-scientific hyperbaric medicine. The scientific hyperbaric medicine begins in 1960 with a physician that was called Ite Boerema in Netherlands, and he began to use the hyperbaric chamber to do surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Surgery inside the chamber. But before, the hyperbaric chamber was used in diving. Because when the people go diving, or for example, the workers that are working in high pressure, for example, in construction, the bridges, there is a need to go down, and each 10 meters add one more atmosphere to the pressure. So when breathing air inside the water, in the water, one need this extra atmosphere, extra pressure. And when one is going very rapidly to the surface, probably it will be not enough time that all the air that was solved in the blood can go out without problems. And there are some bubbles produced. It's like if we are boiling water, there are bubbles, and the same is occurring in the divers.
Mm-hmm.
So beginning from 1933, there was used a hyperbaric chamber with oxygen inside for the divers.
Mm-hmm.
It was in England and also in Netherlands. And from this moment, it was used to against the decompression sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Decompression sickness because of the divers.
It's a risk for divers. But I've got a list here of many of the ailments and diseases and conditions that can be treated with hyperbaric medicine. It's a list that I assume keeps on growing, like severe anemia, radiation injury, gangrene, vision loss, even something that is very common here in Argentina during the winter, which is poisoning with carbon monoxide breathing. All of this can be treated.
Yes. And you know that the government of Buenos Aires is paying for the people that do not have the medical service.
Mm-hmm. They're paying for the hyperbaric treatment.
Yes, hyperbaric treatment for every person. Every person in Buenos Aires, he can have some social security for medical security. If he has not, he will be treated in the hyperbaric chamber,
mm-hmm.
and the government is paying for it.
But here in Buenos Aires, for example, is it widespread available, or is it limited to some health centers only?
No. It's so that the hospital do not have hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm. Not all of them.
But during 22 years, I was the president and director of one medical hyperbaric center that was called hypercameras, and we had contracts with the government and all. All hospitals that have received in the emergency room a patient poisoned by
carbon monoxide. Right. That comes from heaters heaters that are not properly installed.
Because of some malfunction devices of heating.
Yeah. It's very common in the winter here.
In the fire.
Yeah.
Making asado.
Yeah. Obviously. And the million-dollar question at this time, from 2020 onwards, COVID-19. Is hyperbaric medicine good for treating COVID-19?
Yes. It's I would like to say that why it is very useful to apply hyperbaric oxygen in these patients, because the characteristic manifestation of this of COVID-19 is a lack of oxygen. If a lack of oxygen, because the lungs are injured. And hyperbaric oxygen provides more oxygen than any other method. For example, with mask, breathing oxygen in the hospital room, or with the artificial respiratory devices with intubation and breathing by the machine. It doesn't provide so much oxygen that it could be provided by hyperbaric oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yes? But it's because
of the laws of physics.
Yeah. But it's not something that you can find in every single ward, and certainly not in large
yes.
quantities. I assume it's quite an expensive piece of equipment.
It's no, in Argentina is not very expensive.
Okay.
In Argentina, you see that in Jujuy, in the one of the northern province, there is a very nice results. The doctor named Guillermo Quintar, some days ago, wrote to me that he had treated 364 patients.
Mm-hmm. 364 COVID patients.
It was COVID patients.
Wow.
And he has a hyperbaric chamber
mm-hmm.
for mild person.
What was the effectiveness rate? How many of those patients recovered?
Yes, and he has this chamber inside the hospital. So it's very easy because you do not need transport
mm-hmm.
to transport these patients.
Mm-hmm.
And all the patients are very sick, so you cannot send them without physician and so and so. So the condition to treat a COVID-19 patients is to have the hyperbaric chamber inside the hospital, the health center.
He
has inside the hospital, and I can give you only one number. You see, only 11% is the mortality in this group of patients,
mm-hmm.
and if we have the
which is
patients,
much lower than the respirators and the intubators that are used.
There are published that in Argentina, it's like 57%
mm-hmm.
of mortality in this group.
Yeah.
And in U.S., you can see much higher mortality
mm-hmm.
in some groups. So it is very promising therapy.
Mm-hmm. But if it's more effective, if it's not expensive, why is
yes.
it not being implemented more and more in ventilators that are used for people intubated are the rule still for treating COVID-19 patients? Why hyperbaric medicine is not being implemented nationwide and more widespread?
You see, we are working
towards that.
Specialist
okay.
in hyperbaric medicine, we are working to make it more more developed and more, because you see, a physician should be conservative in some sense.
Okay.
Because all they say that there are no still publication in the peer-reviewed journals
okay.
that say that HBO is very good. But the society, the American Society of Hyperbaric and Undersea Medicine published the mechanisms, and it stimulates all the investigation research in this area, because we are living at the era of evidence-based medicine.
Of course, of course.
So when there will be sufficient evidence, I think that it will be more
widespread, more common.
And so we are looking for this.
Gotcha.
For example, the hyperbaric medicine center, which is called Oxycameras, his medical director is Dr. Enrique Ortiz. He's preparing a project and proposing to the hospitals, to the medical authorities, to install one of the chambers in a hospital.
In every hospital.
And to have, yes, it should be inside the hospital because of very difficult logistic of
absolutely. A large piece of equipment. And where Argentina stand in the context of Latin America, I can assume that as many things involving science, Argentina is going to lead the way in the region, in South America and in Latin America in general, when it comes to implementing this hyperbaric medicine for treating COVID patients more widespread.
You see, the physicians in Argentina are very actualized, and we have very interesting experience. But also in Chile, in Peru, in Mexico, there are other physicians in other centers that are participating at the level of research to treating, but nobody has so much experience as Dr. Quintar in Jujuy.
Okay,
also
cool.
In the southern province, in Ushuaia, mm-hmm. there are physicians that also began to treat. There is also one hyperbaric chamber inside the hospital, Navi Hospital of Ushuaia. And also they began this work. I suppose that it will be growing because I know and everybody knows the importance of vaccines.
Yeah, of course.
But it's not sufficient. We also need to pay more attention for treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what everybody's saying, that vaccines are not enough to solve the pandemic.
It's not enough. Besides, we need very, very much time to get the herd immunity that will be prevent the spreading of the disease. So the treatment is very important. Mm-hmm. Now.
Yes. Of course, doctor. Where can we find more information about this? Do you have a website or social media or YouTube channel where experts, doctors, physicians, scientists can get in touch with you, and where common public can learn more about this possibility?
You see, I give a course of hyperbaric medicine of 300 hours. It is opened for every physician. The most part is online. Then we can see what to do with the practice. And I have students, or not students, they are all physicians from Spain, from Ecuador, from Colombia, Chile, besides.
Yeah, but you can also have an English language version because your English is fluent, and you could give online courses to anyone listening to this program.
Anyone besides, I can see that all the hyperbaric physicians are enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. I can explain why, because it is so strong the power of this treatment that when you see how is changing the clinical course of your patient, you are becoming a hyperbaric physician fan.
I understand. So, I understand. And what is that website? You have a website or an organization?
NinaSubotina.com.
Okay. Okay, we're going to share the link also on the description of this podcast.
Yes. And I will now I'm preparing, it's mostly in Spanish, but I will do an English version also. Mm-hmm. Besides the Physicorp, the center of also a medical center that will provide the support and preparation of physician. In this, we also are now working to prepare all this knowledge to be very accessible.
Understand.
For
understand.
Anybody, understand. Also for patients, because
good.
Sometimes patient is who is stimulating to get this.
Yeah, absolutely. And besides,
the physician to indicate and to order this treatment.
In these times, it's key to have accessible and genuine, valid information about health issues. That's something that everybody is pointing out, and it's great. Doctor, thank you very much for this contact with Rai Argentina to the world. It's been very interesting to learn more about hyperbaric medicine. Good luck, and spasiva for this interview.
Thank you very much. It was a great honor for me. And like enthusiast, I am trying to use any opportunity to speak about hyperbaric medicine. Besides, everybody can write me and by my website, and I will respond.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Dr. Nina Suotina from Russia, living in Argentina for several years, an expert in hyperbaric medicine, talking to Rai Argentina to the world. Listo, corto ahí la grabación.